Praise the Lord, that was beautiful. One of my favorite songs. Okay, ladies, this is it. This is the last of the day. So, I know you're all full, and you're ready to call it a day, likely, but I have one more little message that I'd like to bring to you. Hopefully, it can make an impact on your life. It's concerning courage and how Esther, we're not even going to talk a whole lot about Esther. We're going to talk more about how to apply the principle, the character trait of courage in our lives today. Webster's definition of courage: the quality of mind or spirit that enables a person to face difficulty, danger, pain, etc., without fear. Bravery, definition number two: the act in accordance with one's beliefs, especially in spite of criticism. So Esther is known in the Bible as a woman of great courage, and we have heard about that with my lesson, with the display of that they had up here, the reading. She's known as a woman of great courage. She definitely is a wonderful example to each one of us concerning courage in our life. It was not an easy thing for her to get up and put her life on the line like she did. So there's no doubt, ladies in this room, who must overcome your history, who must overcome your past, who must overcome difficult home situations. But we all can overcome those things with God's help, and to ultimately, at the end of our lives, bring glory to Him if we have the courage to stand in the face of difficult situations. You know, there's been many times in my life, and I haven't been through major things. I have not endured any kind of physical abuse, and I know probably more than half of you in here have that kind of physical abuse, sexual abuse, emotional abuse, just the whole gamut. I know that that's the case. The Lord has protected me in many, many ways. But there are times in my life that I do have struggles and trials and health issues. I think Robin mentioned that all three of my babies were born premature, 2 months, 3 months, and 2 months. But they're all healthy, praise the Lord, today, and all of them living for the Lord. So there are difficult times in our life. We'll go through difficult times with someone in the church. Right now, we're going through a difficult time with a young man in our church, Kalen. And if you, any of you follow me on Instagram, you know that's what this is for. Pray for Kalen. And he starts, I don't even know what number round of chemo it is this next week, but he's only 17. And he has cancer in his arm. It's been in his wrist. It's been up here. Possibility of amputation. At this point, praise the Lord, it's not that. He hasn't had to do that. But it has been a difficult struggle, not only for Kalen, but for our church family. You know, we all, I'm just saying this to say we all know struggles. We all know times in our life that we need to just step forward and have courage. There's times in my life when I need to step forward and say something to someone. You know, you need to work on this, or do you realize this? And I don't have the courage to do that. But yet we need to do that. We need to be that for the people in our life. Today, again, we're going to talk about that character trait of courage and how we can use that in our daily lives. Because sometimes we have these Bible lessons and, yeah, that's a good story, and yes, that would make a great movie or a good book or whatever, and it is a good book, and it is a good story, it's true, but how do we apply those truths to our life tomorrow? You know, how can I walk out these doors today and use that in my life? So I'm just going to kind of go over a few things that we can use in our life today, and at the end, hopefully, there's something you can take home with you today. If you feel like you're going to fall asleep, just raise your feet up, you know, like, doesn't Bill do that, Lisa? Yeah, a man in our church, he starts to get sleepy and his feet come up off the floor because it helps him stay awake. So whatever you have to do, let's do it. Okay. poke each other, you know, that, okay, stand in the face of a bad situation and poke your neighbor. Okay. So, our values as Christians today are being trampled on daily basis. In fact, it's got to the point where we are the minority, when that's where, you know, our country was founded on Christian values and a foundation of wanting to serve the Lord and worship the Lord. And yet today, we are the low man on the totem pole. And frankly, I think part of it is our fault, because we haven't stood up. We have not had the courage to be what we're supposed to be as far as Christian people and carrying the torch for Jesus Christ. So have you ever in your lifetime even thought that the gender issue would be a thing? No. I remember even when I was out of high school. It was a long time ago, let's say. But in the big picture, that's not really that long ago, where you would hear little snippets of homosexuality or someone wanting to be a woman and they're a man, or vice versa. And in my mind, I would say, you know what, that will never be part of my history. Well, looky here, it is. Would you have ever thought that in our lifetime marriage would be up for debate? It is, and it's a fact of life. And I honestly believe that's part of our fault. As Christian people, we have not stood up. These decisions have been lost in the U.S. They are lost. They're gone. There's no turning back. The only thing is that for us, it doesn't have to be true. In our Christian life, will we be persecuted? Yes, in fact, some of us maybe. We may be taunted or made fun of for our standards or our beliefs, but we still have to stand up. You know, Esther's a wonderful example of standing up for what's right, even in the face of adversity, even if it means that we're going to get taunted, or maybe even in some foreign countries, you know, I say this, and it may be us before long, be persecuted, I mean, killed, who knows, for our beliefs. But we still have to stand up today and do what's right. We need to know what we believe. You know, that is just a sad state when you go to someone and you're trying to explain, this is why I believe marriage issue. This is why I believe gender issue. And you don't know what to say. You're like, I don't know. My daughter and I were just having this discussion that someone at her work asked about, does her religion require dating thing, you know, things in dating. And she's like, not my religion, but my dad. You know? But that's the way I think people look at it, you know, our religion. It doesn't need to be our religion. It needs to be our values, our core beliefs. And if we don't know those things deep down, that's why the bottom's fallen out. You know, the base has got to be strong, or it's just going to collapse underneath. It is collapsing underneath our feet. So this is not a political message. I'm just stating those things to say we've got a problem with standing up for what we believe, with having the courage in the face of adversity to stand up for what's right. So we're going to talk a little bit about standing up for our families. You know, Luke 22:31 talks about how Satan wants to tempt you, wants to sift you as wheat. He wants to tear you up, grind you up, and toss you to the side. And we cannot allow that in our families. We cannot allow that to happen to our kids and our grandkids. And we need to pray and ask the Lord a hedge of protection about them daily. We need to stand up and have courage to do that, and to plead for the life of our children and our husbands, that the Satan's traps would be diminished and demolished. So just as an example, I know some of you in this room, you're afraid to stand up to your kids. I know, because I see it in Walmart, you know? And my husband says this a lot. this 250-pound man can't control a two-year-old, you know? And that's true. And we let our children run over us in having to do with our meals. You know, oh, Joey doesn't like this, so he gets a special meal. You know, no, stand up. Let you be the leader in the family. And they're going to see that example, too. And in the future, they're going to do the same. My parents didn't let me choose. In fact, there wasn't a whole lot of choice. When I was growing up, you know, we didn't have a whole lot. Sometimes, and I know this is going to sound crazy and y'all won't really believe me, but sometimes we had cornbread and milk for a meal. I still like cornbread and milk. It's almost like a delicacy now. Especially if it's a little sweet, you know. That's yummy. But no, honestly, some moms today, they make, you know, they have three kids. They make three meals and then one for their husband. No, stand up for what's right. Stand up to your kids. You're the boss. You know, you may not be 250 pounds, but, you know, stand up. Stand up to your kids. Don't be afraid that they're not going to like me. No, they're not going to like you. But that's okay. Because when it gets down the road, they're going to like you. Sissy, do you like me? Yeah, see, she's 18 and she likes me now. And so, I mean, honestly, people let their kids run over them. You need to stand up and have courage. That's the first thing. In your home, stand up and have courage to stand against your kids. It seems crazy, but you do. Don't let them run the household. Be brave. Be strong. What about boyfriends and girlfriends? You know, you need to stand up and say, no, they don't love the Lord. They don't even know the Lord. Just saying. I have this group of girls. They're called the Do Right Girls. Okay? We have a lot of fun. Sunday, right now we're in a sabbatical, but Sundays from 4 to 5, we meet 9th grade through 12th grade, and we go through issues, every issue you can think about. We talk about prom. We talk about guys. We talk about, I wish you were not standing back there in that booth. We talk about the proper way to wear clothing, under, outer, the whole gamut. We talk about that because moms don't stand up and tell their girls, no, you are not going to wear that. You are not going to show that. No, you're not going to. Even dads, you know, I used to tell the girls, if you have a question, go ask dad. But you know what? Dads aren't doing it anymore. So, they're not here. Why am I saying that? But we, as ladies, we can stand up and say yes or no to our kids. Back to the boyfriend-girlfriend issue. Today, okay, that's where I was going with that. In Do Right Girls, we were talking about, okay, I just go down the aisle and I say, who are you liking? Who do you like? Who do you like? You know, and some of them won't say, but then the other girls tell them. We tell them what goes on there stays there. So, well, this one young lady, I got to her, and she said a boy's name. And I was like, who's that? I met him at work. I was like, okay, do your mom and dad know about this? Yep. Do they know him? Well, yeah, they like him. So does he know the Lord? No. I'm like, I just want to pull my hair out. Mom and dad are not brave enough to stand up and say no. 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 We're not doing that. Have the courage. It's okay if they don't like you. It is going to be okay. You know, both of my oldest boy's married. They've been married 2 years? 2 years in May. There was a time when he had a girl that we loved, she loved him, he loved her, you know, as much as teenagers can love each other. I feel like they do. They cared for each other. But it ended up that wasn't what the Lord wanted. Well, he started thinking, I need to seek mom and dad's advice and counsel on this. So he went to my husband and said, what do you think of Sierra? And my dad's like, mm-hmm. My dad, his dad, My dad likes her too. But so did his dad. He's like, I think she's a godly young lady. She comes from a wonderful home. They love the Lord. They want to do what's right. I think that's great. So here we are. And that was like, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago. So now they're married. They gave us our grandbaby. I think I told you guys that. Lincoln Wayne. Yeah, he's adorable. He likes me too. So anyway, they're married. This is a great thing. Well, then our second boy, he comes along and he asks his dad the same thing. What do you think about Brielle Payne? And I'm like, oh, she's so adorable. I love her. And her mom is here too. So, I mean, praise the Lord, these people are in our church and we get to see them grow up together and grow to really care for each other. And they're not married yet, but they like each other a whole bunch. And we really like her and we like her family and they're wonderful people. You need to approve. Don't just let them randomly pick someone. You know, give them your blessing. If you can't, don't. You know, I'm sure there are marriages in this room that are struggling because mom and dad didn't approve of your significant other. Don't go there with your kids. Don't go there with your grandkids. Some of you are raising your grandkids. Some of you are raising siblings. Some of you may be raising nephews and nieces. Don't go there with them. Don't even let it start. So it's okay if they don't like you. Insist on training your kids biblically and not letting influences at school or even church challenge those beliefs. You know, my oldest boy, his first, I don't even know why I'm going to tell you this, except maybe to get you aware. His first interaction or exposure to pornography was with the boy at church. Mm-hmm. Happens. Be aware of who your kids are hanging out with and what their parents allow or don't allow. Have the courage to stand up and say no. The courage is lost today. So don't let it be lost in your home. So have the courage to stand and say no, that music is not what we approve of. I don't even know what these days music is not even what music was when I was growing up. It's not even music anymore. It's absolutely crazy. Friends, even just plain old friends, you can say no. You can say, I do not believe that they're a good influence on you. No. And it's okay. Some of them might think their world's coming to an end. Have the courage. You know what? They're going to end up being stronger and having courage in the end if they see it in you. If your kids go to public school, there's nothing wrong with that. Public school kids, even if they're church public school kids, they need the influence of other good Christian young kids in their life, and it might be your child that leads them to the Lord. So I don't think there's anything wrong with sending your kid to a public school, but help them stand alone. That will come from them seeing courage in you. So do that. Social media. They don't have to be involved in every aspect of it. Used to be Facebook. I don't even think that that's a big thing much anymore. Twitter or Instagram or what is so?
Snapchat.
That's weird. I'm telling you. You know, I don't need little things to be put on my face for me to look weird. Is that what that thing is all about? Is just making funny things on your face? I don't even know. Whatever it is, I know it probably can be fun, but they don't have to have that, you know? And if they do, have your thumb on it. Yeah. I kind of hate to admit this. No, I don't. I do not. You know what? I still get my kids' email on my phone. I still have all their passwords. So at any time, I can go and look at their stuff. Not my married kid. He's on his own now. His choices, you know, are all in his court right now. But honestly, who cares? If they are going to hide something, it's going to be layers deep because We're covered, okay? You even hate to say that because then the bottom's going to fall out and they're going to mess up. But praise the Lord, it hasn't yet. So insist on that. Insist on biblical training and have these things under wraps. Video games, they don't need that stuff. A little bit, you know, entertainment, that's fun. They need to have some relaxation and stuff. But today, it is absolutely crazy. It is rampant in the world. You can say no. Have courage. Stand up. If you walk in the room and your kid is on a video game or watching a movie that is not appropriate, don't just walk out of the room. Go yank that thing out of the wall. You know? No, I'm serious, because people are not standing. They're not having courage to stand up against their kids. They birthed these things. You know, you do have the right to go say, no, we're not doing that. That's not going to be part of our life. Television, you know, oh my, you can't even watch a football game these days without nastiness. Ooh, it's pretty embarrassing sometimes. Why are you guys back there? I could talk much more freely if y'all weren't back there. But no, I'm kidding. Oh, there you go, John Mark. Yeah, he put on his headphones. So I was going to say about the dress, too. You know, tell her no. No, sister, we're not going to do that. It's okay. On the same thing, just last month or the month before, we had a ladies' meeting having to do with modesty. You know what? That was one of the hardest things I ever did. That was so hard. But most of these ladies back here were praying for me, because it's become an issue. You know, you don't want the girl in front of you, your family, your husband and your boys, to be showing the things that are underneath her clothing in church. How can they worship? So we covered that in our ladies' meeting, and it was wonderful. Again, it was very hard, but I tried to have the courage to stand up and say, girls, ladies, let's don't do this. Let's be careful. Let's tell each other, you know, have the courage to go to your friend, your sister in Christ. She is a sister in Christ. And if she won't hear it, then something's wrong. It goes deeper than just the clothing issue. So have the courage. I wish people would tell me if I have something that needs to be dealt with. I don't always like it. It's never comfortable when somebody else has the courage to come and tell me. But I need it. We need it. Every lady in here needs that. We need to have courage. Speak up and tell our friends the truth. Don't say, oh, that's cute, and then later, don't come around my husband. No, y'all know that's the truth. So, don't lie. Have courage. So, the main thing that we need to have courage about is telling about our God, telling about what He's done for us. And you say, I get so nervous about that. I don't know if I'm going to say the right thing. I'm afraid what they might think about me. You know, and there's lots of, all of those things are, while they're true, they're not really legitimate. It doesn't matter what they think about you. Wouldn't you rather they not like you or think you're weird and have them not go to hell, or at least have the opportunity to not go to hell? Sure. Right now we're in a program in our church, 4 Steps to God's Glory. The very first step is introduced. It's just simply handing out tracts. And I'll pause right here and give a little testimony, because when we started this, I was still homeschooling Emily. I didn't get out of the house very often, I thought. My Sunday school teacher's wife is here. She's already heard this. I don't even see her, but she's already heard this testimony. But I thought, you know, my sphere of influence is right here in my church. You know, they're my sphere of influence. I don't get out in the community. I don't belong to any book club or except, you know, staff wives. We read a book a year or something like that. I don't think that counts. I don't belong to a running club. I don't want to be. If I have an 11-minute mile and Susie Q has an 8, I don't want to be on her team. Let's let her scoot along and I'll do my thing over here. I don't want to be part of that. So I was thinking, I don't have any influence in my community. So that was on Sunday when they told us about Introduce. And we had to commit to handing out 5 tracts in the week. That's not very many. But I was like, who am I going to give this to? I don't even see anybody. Well, within the first day, I went to the dry cleaners. I went to the bank. I went to Walmart. I went to, where else did I go? The shoe repair place. I don't know. There were like, I ran out of tracks in like the first few hours. And it's like, I do have a spirit of it. Oh, I just remember. Starbucks. After Em and I run, we go by Starbucks and we treat ourselves. So, yeah, that was another area. And so I got to talk to the young lady at Starbucks. And I wasn't just giving a track. I got to ask her about her salvation experience. She's a Chinese girl. And so I asked her, and she's like, yes, I know Jesus. And she started telling me about her experience, and therefore I was the one that ended up getting the blessing that day. She was already saved, and then before long, she was bringing me a video of her being baptized at the Japanese or whatever. I don't even remember what she was, but she's Asian, at her church, and Baptist church, and it's a wonderful testimony. And so anyway, that was my thinking. I didn't have a sphere of influence. I didn't have anybody to talk to or witness to. But yet, in reality, look at all those places I went in that one day. And now they're kind of tired of getting the tracks. But, you know, that's my sphere of influence. And so we really can witness for the Lord. And you say, I don't even know what to say. I'm too shy. Well, you know what? Ask them if they have been to church. Have you ever been to church? Did you grow up in church? Have you ever heard about church? Because some of them haven't. Dina was just telling me a little girl in her life. She doesn't even know Noah. She doesn't know any of that stuff. That's in the United States of America, people. That is so outside of my thinking, but it's reality. It is reality today. So you can start very simple. What I do is tell people about what happened to me. You know, when I did grow up in a church, I was very privileged to be able to go to church as a young kid. My dad, I remember, was saved when I was 4 years old. I remember it because the preacher came and knocked on the door, and I know I was just a little girl, but I remember this. And my dad ran to the back of the house and told my mom, tell him I'm not here. Well, she opened the door and said, yeah, he's here. So my dad came to know the Lord when I was 4 years old. So that's all I've ever known. So anyway, when I was 4, it wasn't long that we were in church. I went down to the altar, but it wasn't of my own accord. My friend was dragging me down. And I remember I was hanging on to each pew as I was going by because that's not what I want to do. I don't want to go down there. But she took me down, and the auditorium was set up sort of like this. And I went right over here. And the lady knelt with me, and she said, why are you here? And I said, well, she said, we're getting saved. And she, so I know, again, I was just 4, but I remember this. And so she went through some scriptures with me, and I said, okay. She said, you want to pray? And I said, to myself. I want to pray to myself. Well, that meant quietly. Well, what I did was I bowed my head, and I played with the carpet. I remember that like it was yesterday. I played with carpet. So that was it. I call that my carpet experience. And then I got baptized and I grew up in church. And by the time I was an early teen, 13 years old, I knew you've got to get this settled. This is not, you know, you can't keep doing this. Because, you know, you lay there at night, thunder, and you think, oh, is that the Lord coming back? I'm not ready. No, no. So when I was 13 years old, I accepted Christ as my Savior. And I'll never forget that. Because while it was a lot of the same people, it was a different church building, and it was right over here, the front pew, and I accepted Christ as my Savior. I went down, my teacher came with me, and she said, what are you here for? She said, I need to get saved. And she's like, I think you know what to do. I said, I do. So I did. I asked Jesus to come into my heart that day, and I've been saved ever since. So I tell people that because, you know, some people, they act like they've gotten saved because they had a similar carpet experience or something like that. Ladies, we can't do that. Have the courage to get it taken care of today. You know, there are women, there are people that live their lives unsure of their salvation. Now, I'm not trying to cast doubt on your experience whatsoever, but many, many people live their lives as if they're saved, that they've asked Jesus to come into their heart because they haven't had the courage to ask Jesus to come in and take care of that. They're too embarrassed. They're too afraid of what somebody might think. Who cares what they might think? You need to get that settled today. So just to say that, if you get in a bind and you don't know what to say, tell them what happened to you. And then if you're just still afraid, tell them what happened to me. That'll be okay. You can use my testimony, not as yours, but that something that happened. God has not, this is 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So he does give us the power to overcome that fear. We can stand up with courage if it comes to our kids, if it comes to our friends, if it comes to telling people about the Lord. We can have courage like Esther. Stand up and have courage. Don't be afraid of what others think. If you don't have the answers to the questions, stand up and be a lady and say, I don't know, but I'm going to find out. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. Don't just say, I don't know. Stand up. Find out what you know and then tell them. So we've covered a lot of material yesterday and today. Think about the first lesson. Do you remember what you put in that box? I know what I put in that box. I've told a few of you because it's okay. I don't care if people know my weaknesses. But I can tend to be very insecure. Insecure in, when I was little, it was my freckles. You know, I was very insecure with my freckles. My brothers called them dumb dots. And when you're a little girl, you start to believe that. And I didn't have another sister to help me along the way. No, you're not. You're not dumb. Not too dumb. No, I didn't have that. So my insecurity started very early. And now, little things, you know, I'll be insecure about. I need to give that to the Lord. So think back to the one that you put in that box or the one you should have put in that box. Because there's something in everyone's life, if it's an insecurity or if it's a addiction, a bad habit, something should have gone in that box. So think back to that. That was the first lesson. The second lesson, think about your specific role in life. The one that's top of the list, have you determined that you're going to have purpose and influence concerning that? That you're not just going to, you're going to live by design and not by default? How about the third lesson that Miss Stephanie brought? Think about those disciplines that you need in your life to be effective in your Christian life. Think about those. And then tonight, this afternoon, think about the courage that you need to have in your life to stand up and be the kind of Christian that you need to be. So I want you to bow your heads, and I'm going to pray. And I want you to think about which lesson it is that really you needed that was for you during this retreat. And get those things taken care of today. Get the Lord to speak to you concerning anything that you may need to do. I'll pray, and then I'll hand it over to Miss Robin. Father, we just thank you for this weekend. I thank you that your Holy Spirit has the ability to penetrate the heart, whether the words were spoken that these ladies needed or not, the Holy Spirit can still use it and touch lives and change lives. And I pray if there is a specific discipline that somebody needs to work on tonight, today, that they would do that. I pray if they need to have the courage to stand up for what's right in their homes and in their workplace and in their churches and just in their everyday lives, that they would do that. And I pray that you would give each one of us the courage we need to stand up and proclaim your word. I pray that if there's anybody here tonight, Lord, today that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, that they will think back if they've ever gotten that taken care of. And I pray that they would do that today if they don't know you. I pray that they would have the courage to step down the aisle and ask their friend to go with them and to just get that taken care of so that they can proclaim your truth throughout every day. God, again, we just thank you, and I pray you'll continue to work in the hearts of these ladies here today. In Jesus' name.
Ladies, why don't you go ahead and stand up?
It's 481.